We heard you missed us. We're back. It's live from the Five Hole, faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells, but Who's Buying Newsletters official semi-weekly podcast. I am Sam Fells, your host and editor-writer of said newsletter. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fellsgate. We are in what we generally call the summer doldrums, kind of just getting through, waiting until stuff matters, which for most people is when training camp begins. The end of July, but we're here. The Stanley Cup final has ended. The NHL draft is somewhere on the horizon. John's yellow pad is bursting with flotsam and jetsam and foofara and argle bargle. So we're gonna sift through it before he bursts and really does damage to himself. So, of course, we're in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. Starting off with Dr. Viral. He's the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW and Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. He is Andrew Cieslak.
That was quite the preamble.
Wasn't it?
It was.
Sometimes you get in it and you just keep going.
You did. I'm very excited about transactions from both basketball and hockey. Even though hockey may have few and far between, I still feel a great interest in whatever may occur. So
July 1st is a big day for you.
Feeling positive.
Feeling good. Feeling great. How are you? He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor, as well as Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. It's Matt McClure.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. And last but not least, he is the archivist. He is the goal line assassin. He is the oracle of Humboldt Park. You cannot find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. It's Fifth Feather, John.
Sam, I've missed you quite a bit, but I am dying to know about your SoFi visit.
Oh,
I can't let the kids wait any longer. You were our man on the scene.
I was the man on the scene. Yes, I was.
In SoFi.
I do love that you were there. So now when the Bears toxic dump Indian burial ground gets built, you can say, this is no SoFi.
Yes. This is no SoFi.
But most importantly, my betrothed, we were watching the game and she knew that you were there. And she was very worried about the temperature inside the stadium for you.
That's very sweet of her.
Talk to me about the temperature inside, because it looked like it was a little hot.
More than temperate, although I was higher up where the openings to the stadium are. It is basically an outdoor stadium with a canopy.
Give me the degrees. Were you sweating?
No. I felt like it was
below grade, right? The playing field is well below street level.
Yeah, I wouldn't go well below, but a little below.
Like Hawkeye Carver Arena?
Yeah, I suppose. But the two openings at the end keep a breeze coming through. So it was, I found it to be quite comfortable. I don't know if people who sat lower were sweating and beady, but
well,
we were not.
In general, heat rises, so you'd be the toastiest of the bunch.
Indeed, but it had area to escape. And all the concourses, at least up there, are outside. They're on the back of the stadium for entering, so air gets through in that way. So it's pretty ventilated, so it's not that warm. It is enormous, as you might have guessed, but I will say at least it goes straight up. So even though we were high up, it felt like we were right on top of the field, where my experience at Jerry World is not only does it go up, but it goes back. So you kind of feel pretty removed from everything. But this feels Coliseum-like, and that everything's sort of on top of each other. Huge concourses, bathrooms flowed through. What a concept. It's pretty neat, but it's not the kind of thing they would build on the Brown Field in Indiana, because they have to keep everything indoors.
That's a clinical
term. If only for the smell.
It's duty.
I will say, SoFi, with a feature we took advantage of, standing room sections. Above the section we had tickets for was a standing room section with a beer ledge. So that's where we took in the game, so we could stand and have the concourse to run around and jump and hug.
Well, that would be ideal for me too, a known standard and loomer.
Absolutely.
At the bar.
You would be ideal for you. I honestly don't know if they have it on top of every section, but on top of the 400 sections, they definitely did. And it made for a better experience.
So it was like when you were a Ute and at the old stadium and almost getting launched onto the ice.
It brought back some definite memories of being a Ute, and you had the railing, you'll remember.
Sure.
So you held onto that at the old stadium, and yes, nearly getting launched on the ice. This would have been a much bigger fall. Still fatal. But no one was taking up the challenge of throwing 45-year-old Sam onto the ice like they were 11-year-old Sam or 8-year-old Sam, however old.
Sure. You had more velocity back then.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Although I would have eventually had more force now.
And you would have reached terminal velocity before you had even hit the ground there.
Oh, yeah, right. Probably, most likely.
Physics talk is over.
Physics corner. Physics corner.
We'll take you to Great America, Andrew, for having endured this.
I will also say the wonderful residents of Inglewood outside were selling bacon-wrapped sausages after the game.
Hell yeah.
Which were delicious and only $8.
Only.
So that hit the spot, let me tell you, before my bus ride back to North Hollywood. So
it's no JB Alberto's.
So you took the bus then?
I took the shuttle they were running. Yes.
You demolished that slice of Alberto's before going
in. I hadn't eaten for hours. I was so hungry. If I didn't get that piece of pizza, I was going to be
fucked. That was rescue pizza. That's the rare pregame going into the Aragon slice.
Yeah. Hey, JB Alberto's, that's quality stuff.
It was really good. So yeah.
There's one by the Aragon.
Well, no, they bring the truck to the alley.
Oh, that's nice. I didn't know
that. Yeah, I got it. Literally, we were in line, and the guy had his slices. I feel like
little known secret. This is basically for anyone who lives Rogers Park or thereabouts. JB Alberto's fried chicken, not to be missed.
There you go.
Did you run in to effort that after screaming females at that?
We tried to effort
Morse?
It, but they were only doing pizza at that time, so we couldn't get it.
You wanted some grab and go fried chicken post street fest.
Yeah, they don't deliver to where I live anymore, but they do deliver around the north side. If you live there and you're looking for some really good fried chicken, the JB Alberto's. And it's cheap too. You get like 20 pieces for like $25 or something.
Well,
love it. Love it.
This is still Joe Biden's economy, so
yeah, indeed.
It's actually Obama's economy. It's his fault.
So there you go, John. That was my SoFi experience. Got to experience LA traffic on the way there. 2 hours
from
North
bus?
Hollywood to Inglewood on the way down.
On the bus?
On the bus, but only 40 minutes on the way back. So.
Oh man, you're Batman.
Yeah. There's no other way to do it though, because parking apparently was something like $150.
This is the thing, man. Everything they just—you can't do shit anymore without.
No, you can't.
Without like a week's paycheck in your pocket,
or forking over a kidney,
or splitting it with four people. Yeah, you got to split it with four people.
During those storms last week, when I was stuck at Ogilvy Station for 90 minutes in 110 degree temperatures, because nobody could hear any announcements because we don't have any screens on the platform. It's barbaric. And you check your phone, you're like, well, maybe I could get a ride. $120. Like, what? You're just stranded. No, there's just nothing you can do.
Nope.
What have we done? What have we? Why did we do this? All right.
That's not why you called. Before we get back to World Cup, I wanted to start with Sam SoFi. I wanted to, we'll get back to the soccer stuff. Sam, I have hockey thoughts for you.
Okay, so hockey thoughts, yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, folks, John's driving the bus tonight. We're letting him just clear it out. We don't want him to get backed up. We don't want to...
Sure. So he's making all the stops.
Yeah, I'm Batman.
We don't want a yellow pad aneurysm, so we gotta clear him out.
I found it very humorous today. Obviously, I love the suspense of whether John Tortorella was going to be the Vegas Golden Knights coach or not after the season. Have you ever seen a John Tortorella coach team that had the longevity of anything longer than the 25 games or so that he coached for this team?
I think the Knights have this one clocked. Like, no, yes. this is what you get out of John Tortorella, and we're good.
Yeah, I mean, we all like to hate on Vegas, but they seem to know what they're doing and are somewhat smart.
That's part of the reason we hate on them.
Yes.
Jealousy.
Anyways, so John Tortorella not coming back. Big shock. The other thing that I found, the other thing that was very amusing to me with Vegas today was they decided to roll out all the players that were the physically unwell and couldn't even probably needed a feeding bag for the past month and couldn't go to the bathroom by themselves, but you know, they couldn't understand why they couldn't score a goal in the last 65 minutes of the final. Right. You know, Mark Stone, he's got an abductor. Noah Hanifin, he's got a leg. who were the other guys that they
Brayden McNabb has no
yeah,
face.
Yeah, he has yeah, a he face. Face. Yeah, he got the face. Everybody knew about that though.
So there's your three.
Right, right. And just coincidentally,
Thomas Hurdle had something too.
They all sucked ass, basically from game two onwards, and couldn't do jack shit against Carolina. Surely that can't be coincidental. And you know, they like to brag about this stuff as though it was like heroic. Well, no, you lost.
Right. Yeah, I'm so tired of that playoff trope of like, oh, they're all playing on torn MCLs and. They right. shouldn't
yeah.
be.
They shouldn't be. Right. They like, this has been my tip for a couple years now. They all do this. Well, here, 2 days later, here come the injury report, and this guy's nuts fell off, and yeah. this guy's arm's broken in 12 places, and this guy's brain actually this guy had is a, bubbling at the moment.
Yeah, he had a stroke like, at intermission.
Right. Aren't these guys tough, and aren't they warriors? I'm like, yes, but it makes for shitty hockey.
And meanwhile, they probably all had, you know, 2 points over their last 8 games or whatever it is, you know, right. like. The zero production whatsoever. You
right, know, the Knights the last 2 games were a hard watch. Like they weren't close.
That was as and, dead on their feet as I've seen a team in a clinching game in a long time.
Right, like this is your showcase. This is your showpiece, and you have usually one team showing up and like, you know, I treasure the 2015 Cup as much as the others, and it's one of my favorite moments of being in the building. But that Lightning team, they were out on their feet.
And even like they put up nothing. More of a, they even put more of a fight right. in game 6.
And they couldn't even put up a fight against 4 defensemen who were all dust by that point, you know, and Hossa couldn't feel his legs. You're right. So like, it's just like, this is your showpiece. This is when you want to put out the
Cedric
best product.
Cedric was the only one that was healthy. And then
he won. This is when you want to put out your best product. And you're sending out mummies. Like, there's got to be a better way to do this. I'm not suggesting shorten the playoffs, but there's got to be a way to shorten the regular season and space it out.
Oh, no, we're adding 2 more games.
Or no, they're going to add 2 more games. We're going to turn these guys even more into dust. And we're going to have international tournaments every 2 years. So the best players are going to be playing 110 games.
And yeah, then it's a wonder why the 2 of the top whatever players in the world on the same team were hurt at the same time.
Right. It's just like
well, cause them to be a premature exit.
To me, the solution is, and I don't know if there's anybody that's ever going to have the stones or the newts to do it, is to you have to change the way that the way you're building your rosters now or your roosters. You can't be doing the old traditional 2 scoring line, 6 guys, and then your grindy 4th line. It's getting to the point where you need 12 guys who are up and down your roster that can play top line or bottom line or who and play against
and
all the competition.
That's what Carolina did. They had guys to spare. They hadn't played. They hadn't right. played fucking. I forgot that Kasper Kokkaniemi was even on that team because they've been benching right. him for 4 months and he's
right.
still only 26
right.
years old.
Right. And first overall or top 5 pick for sure.
I don't
sure.
know. They offer shooted him and then overall. They gave yeah. him 8 years at $5 million.
Yeah, I mean that's the sort of thing that and again of course it's going to be the computer nerd that figures it out, but that's the way I you know to get out of this or to combat this trend of well everybody's parts are falling off and that's why you're not winning.
Third
like
overall.
It's not good. Like you need to turn to somebody else when the parts are falling off. You got to go to somebody whose parts aren't falling off, who's going to have to help carry your scoring
right.
or whatever.
We talked about this.
Doing load management like that everybody hates, which is
they started to do that with, I mean, they started to fall ass backwards into that by 2015 though, with Kane and Hossa and whatever.
Like, the other thing, those were accidental than anything, but I think that that's where the sport needs to start looking towards, because you can't end the season and tell me about all these guys that parts are falling off. And then, oh, by the way, we were completely pantsed in the cup final.
120 minutes.
Right. Why did you not change something? Right. Because you couldn't. You had to play the guys with parts falling off because they're better than whatever you had behind them.
I'm not convinced of that. We talked about this a few years ago when the Panthers lost to the Knights, and it came out like, oh, yeah, Redco Gudas didn't have a groin. And we're like, look, the number seven defenseman you have can give you 12 better minutes than a Radko Gudas who literally can't move.
Right, right. And I guess to bring it back, certainly John Tortorella is not going to be the guy that's going to change that trend. So it's no surprise that he was continuing to play these guys who couldn't do anything because they were so injured. But he's not going to be the type of coach that's going to, in turn, look to guys who haven't really played to that point, or guys that he doesn't think are his quote unquote star players.
Right. Well, with Mark Stone having the torn abductor and probably only playing 47 games next year, he's ready for the Hawks.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's
Alec Martinez is already on the horn
telling him how great it is to retire here.
Yep.
They'll put you on TV. You'll get another paycheck. It's great.
Next to the, you know, merchandised up pregnant lady.
And because he's go ahead.
Andrew. No, I was going to say, the Hawks didn't even consider that every actual Hawks fan who looks at that guy and thinks of one of the worst games that they ever had to watch.
Right.
But
right.
They don't care.
No, the OPPs just assumed that they were on the cup winning teams in 2013,
probably right, yeah.
2015.
He's on TV, right? He must have been.
I've heard that name before. It must be good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Mark Stone, they're going to just associate him with the 2015 cup team.
Yeah.
Because he was in the league at that point.
Yeah, he was like a rookie, right?
Yeah.
He was there. Oh, you know what? He played the Hawks in the quote-unquote playoffs in the bubble, which connects him to the Hawks, so he must have been on the 2015 team.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I thought the cup final, Carolina, I have to ceremoniously unban them. They're now Carolina is unbanned.
Are they the first team to get unbanned?
In modern memory, yes. Since the iteration of this podcast.
The fifth feather playoff banning. They've shed it.
They've shed it.
That's a bigger honor than winning the cup.
Probably should have led with all of this, but Carolina is now unbanned. Welcome back. You are allowed.
Good to see you.
Mm-hmm. You are allowed to continue to make the playoffs.
Well, it's because the most Freddy shit possible happened, where he was great up until he wasn't, and then just obviously Brandon Bussy comes out of nowhere, and Freddie's
what
nowhere.
That Bussy do
exactly comes out of nowhere with his catching with the wrong glove, first righty catch winner I think we've determined since Grant Fuhrer.
Well, if anybody can think of another one,
you're the archivist.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I can't think of anybody other than Grant Fuhrer.
Only on this
certainly
podcast,
wasn't Roman Turek.
Oh, I got it. I just remembered. Tom Barrasso.
Did he catch the wrong way?
Yeah, he did.
Your poopa smells like my Barrasso.
But it's still, I mean, that's pretty still close to Grant Fuhrer territory there. So, yeah.
It's not far away.
About a couple years. Yeah.
Isn't Grant Fuhrer territory a toilet seat?
In Alberta, yes.
Thank you very much. I'll be here all night.
All right.
Who are these jokes even for? Jesus Christ.
They are for us and us only.
Go ahead, Matt.
I'm just checking to see when.
You're efforting on Tom Barrasso?
Yeah.
That's the only other one
it would have been, because Barrasso was there for all five, but the last one was 90. So.
Wait, but Barrasso is the goalie in 92 for the Penguins.
Barrasso was 92 for the Penguins, yes.
Yep. So I believe he would have been the most recent,
although that Stanley Cup final never happened either. That wasn't
correct.
Yeah, why don't they get a guy from that team from the Penguins to host the pregame? is Darius Kasparaitis available? Put him on the TV.
Get Kevin Stevens in here. Is he the one who's dead?
Kasper wasn't in the league by then. Dead. He started off with the Islanders.
He'd be a great host.
Kevin Stevens and Ken Caminiti. Birds of a feather.
Get Brian Trottier to come in and call everyone a tit fucker.
Brian Bellows. He said some choice things, did he not? Is that who you're thinking of?
Well, no, it was Trottier that was calling Bellows a tit fucker on that clip.
That's what I'm thinking of. Okay. Same clip.
What's wrong with being a tit fucker?
I'd say great. Sure.
Ask Brian Trottier.
That's a really good question.
I don't think I want to ask Brian Trottier. Is he still with us?
Yes. No, it's Mike Bossy that died.
Bossy's, yeah, but he's been like long dead.
Not long dead, but pretty dead.
Long enough.
Long enough. Not long enough to host the Hawks pre and post game like Kevin Stephens.
He's in the brown field.
Mike Bossy was only 2022. It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah.
2022 is becoming a long time ago.
It is.
I hate
true.
To say it.
I said not that long ago. It was a World Cup ago.
Yeah, it was one World Cup.
A high school stint ago, which is a lot.
Well, if you had my high school experience, yeah, it was.
Yeah, I think most of us can agree with that.
All right, so those are your final thoughts, John?
Yeah, those are my cup final
thoughts. Stanley
Cup
final thoughts?
Yeah, good riddance to the NHL season.
Yeah.
Can't wait for a new one.
I think, and to get back to Carolina real quick, I mean, unbanned it in historic fashion. A 16-3 playoffs is not anything to scoff at. And again,
that's the best mark since, again, Gretzky Oilers.
Mm-hmm. The nerd was in the building here, and Danny let him go.
Yeah, so. I mean, I don't want to do the score color thing. How come no one's talking about? But I feel like I'm the only one mentioning this guy interviewed for the Hawks GM job, and now he's got a ring, and everyone's just.
But you know, he doesn't understand that the real strategy is just draft guys over and over again and don't do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
when the tables turn, Sam.
Well,
see.
Look at Rosemont, and they're in their final two,
right.
and that's Tulsky's
farm team.
Yes,
farm team. So yeah, they're ready. They got more people if they need them. They got Brindamore's kids down there, right?
That's true.
Let's look at their roster.
So,
pardon the expression.
I don't even know what to say. It's just like, did it happen with the Bears? I feel like it did happen with the Bears somewhere along the line. They brought someone in for coach or GM interview, didn't hire them, and then they won.
Bruce Arians, yes.
He didn't win the Super Bowl, though.
Yes, he did.
With who?
With Tampa.
Yeah, I think that's who you're thinking of.
Was he the coach?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, he was Brady.
With Brady.
Brady coach.
Yes, he was a finalist with Trussman, and the Bears chose Trussman over Arians.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Emery. Everybody was saying Arians, and he was saying Trussman.
Right.
And then,
that's a pretty big gap, though, because they hired Trussman, what, 2013?
But Arians went to
Arizona
first, and they were good.
Success, yeah, had some success, and then obviously went to Tampa.
He was a damn good coach. He was a lot better of a coach than Mark Fucking Trussman.
We could probably go through the list of like Bears coaching and GM candidates and find like a number of this.
Yeah, for sure.
But like when Arians was good in Arizona, it was like everywhere. Look at who the Bears missed out on. Look at who they could have had.
Yes.
Look at who was in the building, and they hired this dope.
You're just impatient, Sam.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just impatient because I'm dying.
Aren't we all? I think the whole thing is like, it feels like it's just another, like there's just built-in excuses every step of the way, but I don't live in the cities that are seeing what it looks like to actually build a roster and sustain one that's just good without having to rebuild for 10 years in between.
Right.
Like Carolina, who's never done it, I don't think. I don't know if they've ever been bad.
Yes, they were bad.
They were bad. I mean, this is before this like 8-year run.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, it's like, okay, fair enough.
Wasn't Svechnikov the second overall pick?
Yes.
He was indeed. And Ha Ho was 3, I believe.
So I think it's just like we're so far behind that part of whatever this project is supposed
to be.
No,
Aho was 35th overall, my friend.
Where you've got
was he really? Jeez. Third in the second round. My bad.
We've got these top picks, and then you've built such a great group around it. We're nowhere near knowing if he's even capable of doing that.
I know all this gives Matt the agita, and I don't want to give Matt the agita, but as upset I am about Tulsky interviewing for the job and the Hawks saying, no, we've already got a dope standing here. And then he also fleeced him. Like, oh, we can't hire you because this guy already put like a picture of his kids on the desk. is that you look at Carolina, right? And it's just so efficient. Now I've made fun of the way they do things, but it worked out in the end. They have a way. Okay. They said, here's the team we're going to build. Here's how we're going to play. And everything we do is to service that. We are only going to get players and develop them or trade for them or sign them who fit what we want to do. We're going to promote. Who'd they fire to promote Brindamore? Was it Laviolette? No. It was Peters, right? He got kicky and racist and they fired him.
Yeah. Was he in Detroit? There were a few other guys that they had too, I feel like.
But Brindamore was being groomed, right? They're like, this is the guy.
The good way, not
the bad way. This is the guy who's going to coach the team the way we have it designed. And then for all the excitement that.
Yeah, it was Bill Peters beforehand.
Bill Peters. For all the excitement that the unwashed and moronic who listen to this show and the unwashed and moronic who host this show have for what Kyle's building, there is no clear ethos. It's just collection. Right? Because if they had an idea of if they're saying we're going to draft these guys and here's how they're going to play and we're going to fit everything to that. Okay, well, they've drafted all these fast, small guys who then play a very boring defensive system they're not really built for. And then they have a really big defense that can't service either of those things. And it's just like, you're just collecting. You're just collecting. There's no through line to this. And once again, I hate doing this because I don't have a press pass. Never been in a press box. And it's not fair for me to question the guys who do the job. But no one has asked Kyle how does the way Blashill play accentuate or take advantage of the talent you have collected? What is that connection? How do you see this team playing? Is this how you see them playing? If so, why? When you talk to Eric Tulsky, he would say, we play like this. No backing up. We forecheck like hell. We have layers. We decide to add to it a little bit with some improvisational skills with Ehlers and Taylor Hall last year, who carry the puck more than we were used to, but gives us a variance. But this is how we play. You know, everyone's up. Defensemen never drop below the red line. We are up your ass. We are 60 minutes of pressure. This is how we play. And everyone we get applies to that. Even Ehlers can do that with the spice that he provides. There's no plan here. And I don't think they know it. Danny doesn't know it.
He's too busy DJing. Yeah.
I think Kyle just thinks I collect a bunch of talent and then the coach sorts it out. Probably because he was brought up in a system where the coach and GM were having knife fights after practice. But the coach was so good and the talent was so much that they could get away with it. And they just, maybe they just think that's how it works. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little itchy.
Because he's had two coaching hires, right? He hired Luke
yep.
to develop all these guys. And he's like, oh, right. Well, Luke plays too passively. Can't have that. And then he tried to get David Carl.
And right. David Carl said, not interested.
I don't think he has any idea how David Carl would actually play.
Mm-hmm.
He just liked the name. I like the name, and I also like how David Carl plays. And then David Carl told him to do one. And so now he's like, well, what do I do? And then Jeff Blashill's standing out in the rain with a boombox and a resume.
And saying, look at what I did with the Grand Rapids Griffins.
And I worked for John Cooper, who apparently just had him get coffee. And so he's like, oh, yeah, I'll hire him. Well, how does he play? Well, I don't know.
Certainly not well enough to get the goddamn Wings into the playoffs.
Right. Although few people have failed at that task. And they're going to continue to fail because they're going the wrong way.
Oh, that.
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, dude, I was going to segue into making fun of the Wings with Dylan Larkin asking out.
Always welcome.
But John, if you had a further expounding on the development or lack thereof with the Hawks as it relates to having Tulsky in the building, please go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, I was just going to kind of dovetail the conversation into today's activity, which was San Jose making the trade with Buffalo for Kesserling, who's a right-handed defenseman, which San Jose needed.
Found gold, apparently.
And
right-handed defenseman, can't live without it.
Nope, can't. You need him. But, you know, and Matt, you made the point in the real show, is that, you know, he's got a limited ceiling, which he does, but I think that's kind of the point. I think Greer is looking for someone that he could pair with Dickinson, because he's not looking, because if you compare it to the way Kyle's building it, it's collecting. Well, Sam Renzel's a right-handed defenseman. Who's he going to play with? I don't know. We got a left-handed defenseman, Wyatt Kizer. He could play with him.
When did Kyle turn into Terry?
Right. Lovshunov is...
Hey, buddy, we got Kizer. You can play with him.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Lovshunov's a right-handed defenseman. Well, who's he going to play with? Well, we got Korchinski, or we got...
Vlasic.
They can play together. But, you know, they don't really meld or gel together. We're just going to stick them together, and maybe they'll work out. If not, well, then we'll shuffle the deck and see if that works.
Right. And then we're going to throw out five mobile defensemen who are all kids, and we're going to play this defensive system where they don't move.
where you look at what San Jose did today, and they dropped, I think, what, 7 picks now? So now they, instead of picking 20th, they're now 27th. But then they also pick up this right-handed defenseman. And Kesserling is going to play on their top two pairs. Whether he's going to be partnered with Sam Dickinson or not, it remains to be seen. But he's a guy that could probably play with him probably from the get-go. And I would think that that's what Greer's mindset plan is that rather than just collect guys or take Sam Reed or whoever people are telling him to take with the number two pick because you need a right-handed defenseman, he's saying, well, why would I do that if I can just acquire this guy from Buffalo, who I like and who probably will play better with this young left-handed defenseman who's 20 and still learning the NHL game. And then I could take whoever I want at number two and not be cornered into just taking somebody for need. That's how I saw that move go today, and why I feel like when we talk about the different general managers, whether it's the nerd in Carolina that just won or Mike Greer, and then compare them to what's happening here, to Sam's point, it just feels like we're just collecting guys.
Well, nothing is happening here, first of all.
Right.
Nothing's happening here. The drafting for need.
They haven't signed Connor Bedard. They haven't done anything. They're doing nothing. Literally nothing.
Drafting for need in hockey is even stupider because he's not going to be – whoever they take at number two is not going to be there unless it's Stenberg. Like, none of the defensemen are going to be there in October.
None of the defensemen are going to be there for a while.
They're like, oh, correct. We don't have any defensemen. But it's like, well, yeah, but you might trade for – like, if the Sharks are, like, going to make the playoffs or need one more move to cinch down – they might just go ahead and trade for a guy. And maybe that guy likes it there. And maybe they re-sign him. You know, so like, oh, well, we didn't have any defensemen. Okay, well, now you do. Like, this idea that, like, oh, we got a draft for need for 2 years from now when this guy's here. Your roster could look like anything in 2 years. That's why they're going to take Stenberg and leave Kyle holding his dick again.
Well, and he's expecting to be holding his dick again because he's telling everybody that'll listen that they don't expect anybody to be there at four.
It's super.
You're not going to be allowed to make the pick. Everyone's gone. You can't go.
Sorry, there's no one to draft. There's no one to sign. There's no one to trade for.
The cap is too high.
Sorry.
And so is the rent.
Now, was Tulsky was part of Carolina before?
Yeah, he was the assistant.
He was standing there.
Okay.
He was standing there.
So when they made that move, when they put Stan over Jim Hendry's barrel, and they took Bickle's contract, but then they said, you got to give us Tavo. He was part of that front office. Now
he
that's
might
when
not have
Carol-
been there yet,
but that's when Carolina started to turn the corner.
Yeah,
and
the
see
proverbial
that,
corner.
That's the sort of move that we've all been expecting.
No, he was there 2014.
Okay, he was. Those are the types of moves I feel like that when we're talking about the Hawks and why Kyle doesn't do anything. That's the perfect example of a move that was made by a team to take advantage of a situation of a team that needed cap relief. Yeah, we'll give you the cap relief, but you're going to give us your best prospect in return. Not even a prospect, your best young player. And when have the Hawks done that with Kyle? They had opportunities to do it. They've never done it.
I'm sorry, John. They were showing Shakira highlights on the Fox halftime show.
Oh, I saw it too, but I was able to maintain my train of thought.
Couldn't focus there. Yeah. The Hawks have never done it.
Yeah, the Hawks interviewed him in 2022, and he got promoted on 2024, in 2024. So 2 years, they still could have had him. Yeah, it was after Don Waddell fucked off to wherever he's
Donnie
doing.
Wads.
Donnie Wads.
Donnie Wads. So anyway, there's our pre-draft thoughts. The Hawks aren't going to get Stenberg. They're going to get some defenseman who can't develop and probably sucks, and it doesn't matter.
Kyle needs to actually be aggressive and try to trade up, and he's not going to. He's going to say that he tried, and everyone's going to say, great job trying.
Well, great job. You're a genius.
Well, it's too late. They don't have... Now they don't have a need that the Hawks could. I mean, you could throw assets at them, but those are too precious, like the juice. So,
I mean, to me, he should just go to Graham and be like, "You can have my other first and all my second round picks, because after they make this top five pick, none of your other draft picks matter. You should have everything you need in the system already. You've already been doing this too long. I don't want to hear it, John.
Yep.
That
Sam's
somewhere in the second round, we're going to find another piece. You've already done that. You've done that for like 3 years now.
We're done with those picks. No picks matter.
He's going to
get rid of them.
He's going to use every single one of these picks. Mark it.
Everything you're supposed to need, all the parts of your team that you're going to build through the draft, which is never the complete team. How many guys on Carolina were drafted by them? It's like 8 or 9, right? You should have all that.
It's just they need to trade those picks. They need to trade next year's picks. They have so much to trade. They can't draft all these guys. There's roster maximum. It's just like, it's insane. Do something. I know you can. You have the stuff.
And
make something happen. You can't just sit back and let things happen to you. Rule of life, number one.
I mean, I think if they knew what they were doing, and if they had a coach that they could trust, and these are, they're 0-2.
I prefer the coach over the GM.
If they were an organization you could trust on the come, as they say, you would take Darnell Nurse and you would say, we will keep you for 75 days and we will rehab your image. And come the next trade deadline, we will get you to a contender because we will build up your value. We can rehab your game here. There's no pressure. You don't have to worry about letting Connor McDavid down. You can just be the center fielder for one of our hot young go-getters. And we will rebuild your rep. And by the trade deadline, we will move you for like $2 million because you've taken half his contract. But would you trust them to do that?
No.
Well, here's the thing. He'd be talking to his only friend, Stan Bowman. So it should be easy.
And they both think they're going to
screw each
other.
How many trades have they made? Like four?
Two within a week.
Two on the same day, basically.
Yeah, it's like
they were two separate deals.
Say, hey, enabler, do you got anything for me here? Well,
I'm only counting like 4 or 5 actual draft picks from the Canes here. Svechnikov, Aho, Blake.
Now, let me be clear. I don't know that Darnell Nurse is an automatic rehab project for anybody. He might just suck. Matt and I rode that train as far as it would go.
But didn't they say they want a guy who can help and not just, you know, they want a guy who's like a veteran with experience, but, you know, can also play? Like, you're not going to find that guy. So you have to kind of
take
a bit of a.
How long until Darnell Nurse is labeled a malcontent, though, because he doesn't have those certain unidentifiable intangibles?
Oh. We'll be here long enough.
Right. Well, shift.
If you do it right, he shouldn't be here long enough to worry about that.
Yeah, I would also not have those intangibles if I had been forced to eat as much shit. That doesn't mean I would turn black.
Black. I don't know where you're from, Black, but was it Black physicist who got thrown out of a remote?
Yes, I watched him do it. He wouldn't leave me and my brother or Zawoski or anyone else alone. It was like the last show. It was the last Crappin'. It was at Real Time in Elk Grove. It was
how
one
do you get
of,
thrown out of an afternoon show remote?
That's something to put on a resume,
right?
Mitch was not having it.
Outstanding. All right, John, what else is on your yellow pad? We've done Stanley Cup Final, we did Hawks Draft, we did SoFi Experience. What else?
Do you have anything to talk about regarding the Bears or no?
No. I sent the boys on the real show a very wholesome Instagram post today of yes. Luther Burden was doing some sort of camp. And the kids begged him to call Caleb Williams, which he did. And as soon as Caleb Williams showed up on FaceTime, they absolutely lost their shit. The vibes and juice on this team are off the fucking charts.
It's crazy because it was not that long ago that we were sitting here saying,
you know, and
kids had no reason to grow up being Bears fans anymore. There's no point.
You know, John, in another time, another place, I would say Ben John. We can all agree Ben Johnson's wound a little tight, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Now, in another time and place, I would get what I would call Mike Keenan vibes from him, where I'm like, oh, man, how long before these guys just aren't about this anymore? But they're all about it.
They love it.
They love it.
Football players love that shit.
Did you read Khalif Raymond's comments?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty good.
This guy. I think he walks a fine line of it, too. I think Keenan was a hard ass and always a hard ass and always a prick.
Yeah.
I think Ben can be a hard ass, but he can also
and he's also
around
on the younger side too. Correct. Like Keenan was still well into middle age at that point.
Right.
There must be so much that goes on behind closed doors that we don't see, where he is not the hard ass they see on the practice field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, it's clearly these guys have some sort of connection to him where they obviously talk to him in a different setting.
Right. And if they all love ball, so to speak, as much as he does, I don't think
Lonzo?
He's not as big of a hard ass, because I think he's just passionate about it, and so are they. So then they don't see it as anything other than talking ball with coach.
Yeah, he's hard, but he's not belittling.
Right.
Like he drives these guys, but no one's like he's not like Keenan telling Dave Manson he's an embarrassment to his family.
No, definitely not. None of that. I think Luther Burden is a great example, because the first time he showed up to practice after coming off his little soft tissue injuries and whatever it was that kept him out at the beginning of last year, he was getting kicked off the field in front of everybody in the media.
Right.
That seemed to have worked out okay.
We hope. I mean, bigger sample size, but signs are promising.
He certainly doesn't seem like a guy who hates his coach, put it that way.
No, none of them do. It's like usually there's always one guy on a football team, right? It's
maybe Jalen or Kyler hates their coach, but
right, but they're not making any noise about it.
Kyler's not around to make noise.
No one knows where he is.
He quite literally does not have a leg to stand on in that game.
It's too.
No one knows where he is to hear his noise.
Andrew, we alluded to it at the beginning, but I have to ask Andrew, are we allowed to talk about the stadium, or is that conversation?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure,
okay.
No.
All right. Brownfield?
Yes, the Brownfield.
Called Brownfield.
And the bubbling human waste and the remains that are popping up at midfield or the marsh.
You got
whatever.
A skeleton arm coming out of the end zone.
The whole thing is league football is what we're getting.
I just can't get over the stupidity of all of it. I just find it so amusing.
I can't put it any better than Bernstein did, where you have this family that has only owned the Bears and they are bad at business and football. They can't do either. They don't know anything about football and they don't know anything about business. And yet they've owned a football team their entire lives. Like, that's all they've ever done.
Yeah.
I don't
it's
know what goes on.
It's only increased
there.
In value X, like an exponential amount. Also,
despite their best efforts, quite literally.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Let me ask you this. If Ted Phillips were still in charge, would this stadium deal be done?
It wouldn't be great, but yeah, it'd be done.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be a bad door. But
it'd be a hideous, outdated stadium the day it opened, but yes, probably.
But it would open.
It would open. This would have been done.
This would have been done.
There would have been shovels in the ground in Arlington Park.
He was at least decisive in, like, buying it and winning that bid.
Well, because that's what what his boss told him to do, because Grandpappy wanted that land. That was his dream. to build the Bears.
The best way I saw it put was they're either going to build a stadium on the land they spent $175 million on or somewhere else.
Well, so they're 5 years into this now.
They've had that land five years.
And
to the day,
even like, let's say tomorrow, they Kevin Warren gets on the Bears social media accounts, types up another statement and says, we've purchased the permits. We're starting the work. We've hired excavators. We've hired all these people. We've got this land picked out in Hammond. Yeah. We've got the
exhumers. They need to get an easement for that land. 2050, it's protected until.
Right. But I'm just saying hypothetically, even if tomorrow they say we're ready to make all the moves to make this happen in Brownfield, Indiana, we're still 5 years away at minimum from the grand opening of that stadium.
Right.
Like it took Levi Stadium in Santa Clara, 3.5 years, this building that they're opening in Tennessee, it took about 3 years for them once they started construction on it. So they haven't even started construction yet. And the whole process to do that is about a year and a half, 2 years.
Environmental minimum, studies. And all
minimum.
That. Yeah.
Even if let's say that they can pay off these environmental studies because it's Indiana and they can do what they want and they're corrupt as all hell, it still takes time. So it's still 5 years away at least. So why are we talking about this hypothetical stadium that is not even, there's not even concepts of it. I haven't even seen Matt's nudes.
They don't have a location. They don't have a spot.
Yeah, I haven't even seen Matt's nudes of what the stadium's going to look like.
No, and you won't.
It doesn't look like anything
because
there's no concept of it. It's hilarious.
There's no concept. There's no plan. And like, somehow
someone's got to make an entire stadium from scratch. Yeah, the steps are unimaginable from where they are right now.
You're right.
I'm laughing about this now, but I know that week one, I'm going to be in a lather about the Bears game, and all of a sudden we're going to get that statement from Kevin Warren printed out about
NFL backed
during like the second quarter.
Yes. Yep.
They'll show you the plot in Arlington.
Right. And right. As the Bears are struggling to move the ball. So then right. I'm going to be annoyed about that. And then I'm going to be doubly annoyed
and then
about
this. They'll be coming back from break. They'll uh-huh. show you the aerial shot of, well, week one's not in Soldier Field. So this might wait for week two.
Okay. Yeah.
But they'll show you the aerial shot of Soldier Field, full sold out crowd. They'll show you the aerial shot of Arlington Park. And then they'll show you an aerial shot of somewhere in Indiana because mm-hmm. there's no spot picked out. It might just be all of Indiana from space. And they'll be like, well, here, and then they'll give you the NFL propaganda because Goodell's sick of this shit too.
Yep.
And they'll give you all about the talking points they want to put out there about the stadium thing and all that. And everyone will get in the lather, not John's lather, their own lather. But nothing will happen. And I know it's been a while since Ted Phillips has been here. I know he was a bit of a dummy. But
he was a very good accountant that got overpromoted by incompetent inbreds.
But by being an accountant, when George told him, we need to acquire this land in Arlington. This is Grandpappy's dream. This is we need this land to build a new stadium. And I'm sure Ted Phillips probably went, okay, do we have a plan to build that stadium? No. Oh. Like, okay.
Well, we gotta act now because someone else will.
Right. Well, we got.
But they did do
land.
The studies on the land, so they have all the studies. All that has been done. So they're cleared to build on it.
They've studied the land.
They studied the land. So
well,
he did.
They could. If they were just like, fuck it, we'll pay the taxes or whatever, they could start building tomorrow.
Yes.
Like if they're just like, oh,
no, I don't. Who knows what financing they have lined up for?
Well, there's the problem, right? They don't have the money.
No, right. It would be technically they could start it because they've done all of the.
Right. Well, George says they're going to borrow the money.
The diligence, yes.
They're going to borrow the money they have to put up. He's like, we don't have it, so we'll have to borrow it. But they could borrow it if they were like, okay, we'll just pay the taxes and we'll build it. But the thing is, that thing it's not profitable unless you get the taxpayer fuckover. then the new stadium isn't actually worth it if you don't get it for free.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is where I feel like this is headed.
It's headed to they'll be playing in Soldier Field the day you die.
Yes, that's where I feel like it's headed.
I think that's great.
Fine by me, yeah.
I don't go there for Bears games. What the fuck do I care?
Yeah. Or George and the 32 Eds are going to sell the team.
32 Eds.
And then somebody with actual money is going
Who are they going to sell Arlington Park to?
Well, I think that's part of the
asset package that they're selling. Yeah.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
Right. That's where you
would be great. Do that. It's like it's the same thing with the Hawks. Just like bring in someone else. Please. Anyone.
They've painted themselves into this corner here where their two options are we're going to keep getting our bluff called and we're going to have to build on this swamp brownfield.
Even the big boy came out and said like, "Come on. Like we will call a special session." Just like give us something to work with here.
I hate to tell you this. I'm not much of a poker player. Matt knows this. But I know that when someone raises big and I looked over and they're red and sweating and fidgeting, I'm like, that guy doesn't have it. So Kevin Warren and George keep showing up they don't even show up at the Illinois Assembly, which is also part of the problem. And they're like, we're moving to Indiana, and they're pouring sweat. And they're shuffling their cards, and they're playing with their chips, and they're looking around nervously, and they won't look you in the eye. And it was like, yeah, that's a pair of twos.
But it could be the opposite. A guy might not be able to contain himself when he's got the nuts.
So then the other option then is to just sell the team, and you get your money back on the land that you sold.
I don't know if it's that simple, right? Like, anyone who has... What are the Bears' value at? $9 billion?
Yeah.
Right.
Nine?
Thereabouts, yeah.
I think it is. And that's without the stadium. But anyone who's amassed that much money or a group that amasses that much money is going to be like, you want me to spend $9 billion and then I have to inherit this mess? Because who's going to buy the team with a stadium you don't own, whose profits you don't keep, with no new stadium lined up?
Someone would buy it.
Because the number is just going to keep going up.
Right.
And you get to potentially build the stadium. Maybe you put your name on it or whatever. You're the fucking guy who built the Bears stadium.
Why hasn't Ryan taken over this operation?
Too old, too achy.
He snaps his fingers and Northwestern gets a new stadium.
Well, I feel like there's
a lot of water there.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right. I mean, I don't care, but like, he obviously knows how to get things done.
So they can fill it up with Ohio State fans.
Yeah. Pat Ryan is 89.
Yeah,
Jesus
too old.
Christ.
Does he have an Ed?
Do these people ever die?
He does not have
an Ed. Is there an Ed Ryan below him?
I don't think that he's got an Ed.
He doesn't have an Ed.
No, he's got something, but he doesn't have an Ed.
Does he have a brother, Daryl?
Nobody born past 1948 is named Ed Ryan. Imagine naming your child Ed in 2026.
They really got to start putting like Bears board meetings, like stream them.
On C-SPAN?
I gotta see what this looks like.
It looks like the sports reporters from Sports Channel.
Andy McKenna, who was on the board and who Pat Ryan bought up his shares, was 93 when he died.
And when did he die?
2023.
Okay. In a Bears board meeting, what are the percentage of board members who have previously or do soil themselves during the meeting?
How many of them were slave owners is what I want to know. How many of them owned slaves?
Currently or in their lifetime?
In the literal 1700s when they were alive.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, the old man kind of did.
Oh, there we go. All right.
I mean, like, it's got to look like an old folks home trying to do the hokey pokey.
This is more Bears leadership thought than I ever wanted to have.
Right.
Well, and to
show me
to
Caleb Williams, like, get me out of here.
Well, right. And to bring it back to what I was getting at is you have Ben, you have Caleb, and if they get a couple on the board here.
Oh, dude, listen. Kansas City has been rated the worst run franchise in the NFL almost annually. And I'm talking about through this year. It has not changed, but they win. Which
exactly.
means that it doesn't actually matter that much because right. you've got the
player. Bears are like a middle and of the coach, road yeah. to well, good at like facilities right. and stuff.
When it comes to the how the players yeah, the feel Bears aren't that shitty. The Bears,
absolutely,
like,
right.
They love, like, everyone hates the Chiefs building, the facilities, the way they do it. For the Bears players, that's not a thing. They love it.
Right. Exactly. So it's, I know we're making our jokes here, but, you know, it's, and there are obviously good reasons for it.
Well, but, you know how this is going to go. If they're,
we like to go around five, here, folks.
If they're 10-5 again, or 9-3, you know, whatever we have, Matt, and the buzz and the vibes and the juice and John's pants are permanently gone. You know, Kevin Warren's going to come out and try and do another thing like he did last December. And everyone in the media is going to be like, oh, they're ruining the buzz of the Bears. And I feel like, okay, fans won't like it, but they're not. It's not ruining the buzz. It's
it doesn't
two
ruin anything
things.
For me. Exactly.
Yeah. It's too, like, okay, I'm upset that Kevin Warren and George are such dopes, but it doesn't, like, make me less excited to watch the Bears go to the playoffs.
Beat writers are terrified to ask Ben Johnson about this topic because they know he doesn't
he
give a
does
shit.
Not care.
Yes.
He doesn't
they
care.
They asked
at
Caleb
all.
About it and he didn't care.
Why should he?
Because he's never going to play at that stadium.
Right. He knows he's never going to play there.
Yeah.
Like, that's where your statue's going to be.
Yeah, this isn't like a baseball or hockey stadium. Like, they're there for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they hang out pre and post.
Because Hell's Hall is already built. They just refreshed that. They just spruced right. that up.
They're not gonna
put the entire training complex there.
They bus in, they bus out. It's not like they hang out there. So as long as it meets like minimum requirement, they don't care. Like, the players don't care. This isn't like when the Cubs needed a new clubhouse because you couldn't turn around without someone's wang in your face in the old one and all that.
Or a,
like,
concrete brick falling on your skull.
Right. Like, this isn't that. The players don't care. As long as the thing's not falling down and the locker room's big enough, they don't care.
Yep. That's all good.
And the field isn't actively eating their ACLs, which it might.
As someone who watches most games on TV, I like seeing pictures of my lakefront, goddammit. So stay where you
and
are.
And this coach likes to run the ball, so they don't need no stinking turf.
Yeah, give me as many playoff games with negative 12 degree wind chills as I can possibly handle. I want all of them.
You've got at least 5 more years of that.
I want them. I love it. I'm in no hurry to change.
Even if this would benefit you in the event you actually wanted to go to a game the most, as it stands right now, among us.
Being to Arlington?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're like,
yeah,
right,
I mean,
there.
It's very simple, obviously, to get to, and I'm fine with that. But I'm just saying, like, until they actually admit that's where they're going and stop with this Indiana bullshit, I'm fine with that too. I want this fake tough guy shit to be done. That's the thing I don't have time for.
Yeah, everyone's just bored and exhausted by this shit now.
Have we figured out who Reddit Hawks is yet on Blue Sky?
It's one of mine.
What are your?
I don't know which one, but
okay. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm jumping the gun.
Well, I mean, we've been doing this way too long for how long for this supposedly being off-season doldrums. So
right. So probably should get to the Cretans.
Yeah. Why not?
Well, no. Hold on. I got one more thing.
Oh, I'm sorry, John. Didn't.
Well, Sam. I told you I had soccer things.
Okay.
That I wanted to get to.
We're also the masters of the backtrack segue.
Mm-hmm. We've, you know, my favorite World Cup tradition is to not watch soccer year round and then only watch World Cup and tell you why you're wrong about everything.
Totally why I'm wrong and why you're right.
Yeah,
I love
it
too, John.
I've been reading your newsletter.
Yeah, it's been very
religiously.
Good.
It's very good, and yeah. I haven't disagreed with anything that you've said. Everything
well,
that
can't
seen,
be, it can't be as good as it can be. It yeah. doesn't agree with everything.
Or that means that you are being molded in by John's grand plan here, the long con.
Well, true, but you know, he seems like a happy enough fellow. So,
you know, you wrote about going into the French game about Mbappe, your French preview in Mbappe, and you did not. I wanted to disagree with you right away. But I watched, and Mbappe was completely disinterested, completely, basically useless, to the point where I was like, well, this is the guy? This is right. their
is
guy?
Is this your king?
Is and this then? Your king?
And then.
And then, yeah. And then, right, of course.
And then.
But,
like so.
But
John,
still, I mean,
I'll know you're truly dead
never
inside.
Got to that point.
I'll know you're truly dead inside when you wake up in the morning and you don't want to disagree with me.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm calling your betrothed and be like, we need a wellness check. Stat. John doesn't want to argue with me.
Yeah, I do want the thing that you're saying I agree with, and what my eyes are telling me agrees with your assessment. So I can't disagree with you.
Well, thank other you very than, much.
Other than it's stupid, the Jake McCabe strategy of laying down on free kicks is the dumbest thing that I've ever seen.
I can't tell you you're wrong, but Slag and I have watched enough where if they that has cost teams not having that. So
I need a Ben Johnson type tactician that makes somebody pay for that.
I have just the team for you, John.
Okay.
Aston Villa Football Club.
Do they do new and exotic things like that to make their
the
opponent
set
pay
pieces
for
pieces coach that you've ever
He's
seen?
He's currently okay. Portugal's set pieces coach.
Okay. I'll keep an eye out then.
He is wonderful.
Okay.
And he looks like he was the session bass player for Sabbath. Yeah. Session guitarist.
If you ever hear an announcer say straight off the playground or whatever, straight off the training ground, you know that that's a good set piece. And we hear that a lot.
I think we determined too that just for my own purposes that the company I work for is a UK office in Birmingham is like a half a click closer to Villa Park than it is to Wolves. So that's where I would, if I had to ever go.
People though, don't be too loud about it. If you run into Birmingham City fans, they'll be very, very sore.
Yeah, it won't go well for you.
It's not, and I don't mean that in like a funny way. They're scary people.
Yep, and you won't understand them.
No,
they're like Raiders fans, but even more like disillusioned and disaffected.
They're like what Raiders fans think they are.
They're like Raiders fans, but if the Raiders played in the UFL.
So really nothing to lose, huh?
Really nothing to lose.
They are trash. And Tom Brady's a part owner, which is hilarious.
Well, thank you, John. For those who don't know, doing a free daily World Cup newsletter. Costs you nothing. I'll send it to you for free.
It's great. I recommend it. If you're listening to this, please read that. Because, boy, nice recap, colorful language. Got it all.
Mm-hmm. And that's accurate assessments.
Yeah, that's
so
signature
far.
Sam style.
Yep. Accurate assessments so far.
And he's going
to get a long way to go.
Luis Diaz goal, which is great.
I am, which I always love. I love Lucho.
There you go.
Do you, Andrew or Sam, do you have any other World Cup thoughts?
I was really not prepared to enjoy it. And of course, now that it's happening, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. The Messi spectacular thing was just, that felt like theater or some kind of church going experience to me. I was blown away by what was happening, quite frankly. And
it
I never
it was something.
And I don't consider myself a huge Messi stan or anything like that either. So I was just really moved by it in a way. And I thought that was cool. I also think it's cool that, you know, John's Mbappe, Messi, Erling Haaland, Harry Kane are all just putting up goals like in the first game. They're just scoring. The guys who are supposed to score are doing the scoring. Names on the sheet, as Matt would say. That's always a good thing because you're advertising the sport in these names. And if they don't do anything, you're like, well, what the fuck was that for? But they're doing stuff and they're looking crazy.
It's Bart and he's doing stuff.
You know,
Messi is the only.
And John McGinn scored, for Christ's sake. I mean, it's going great for me. Really fun.
The Scotland fans' videos around Boston are hilarious. Oh,
it's wonderful.
The Messi thing is like, he's the only soccer player, and he'll probably be the only one of our lifetimes who's like this. And it's like Steph Curry when, no matter where they're shooting from, if they're open, you're like, oh, that's going in. Like, there's no doubt about it.
If only because the Hawks had a player like that could transcend that mold in hockey.
It's, you know, in soccer, there's always doubt, right? Because it's hard to score. There's very little scoring. Even the best players, they line up from 20 yards.
But the
like,
net's
well.
So big, Sam.
But then Messi does it, and you're like, oh, forget it. There's, you know, that's going in. As someone who's not a Messi, I mean, I enjoy him. I
appreciate
spectator,
him.
You know, it's not, but you know, I'm not, you know, I don't worship him or anything, but you know, I obviously appreciate what he is, but yeah, that was ridiculous last night.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, the crowd that was there to see him and the Argentine folks and whatnot, just like their reactions were, you kind of got the feeling it was like what it must've been like to go see the Beatles or whatever when they were at their peak, or Michael Jackson before he got all
weird.
Like people fainting in the front row. It was nuts. I mean,
right.
You really felt that kind of aura, presence, whatever, come through the TV, and which is.
Yeah, I thought about writing about this, but I decided against it because I didn't quite know. This particular Argentina team, and it's mostly due to Messi and the fact that they won. Of all the international teams, you know, that we've seen since we've been fans, and I don't mean to say that everyone in the stadium last night was this, because I don't think it is, because I think a lot of Argentines have traveled. There's a huge, you know, a lot of them already live here. But this is like the biggest bandwagon international
team.
Yeah,
oh yeah, no question. Like, you know how many kids in Messi jerseys? Even in my neighborhood, I see.
Right.
All
like
the time.
Spain team that won 2 Euros in the World Cup, they didn't generate this. France never generates this, although there's a lot of Mbappe shirts, but nothing like this.
No.
You know, you look around and it's Argentina or Inter Miami or Barcelona number 10 jerseys just everywhere.
Right.
And that's fine. It's just like they've caught fire in a way that I can't remember any other national team catching fire like this. It helps, you know, that they won the Copa America here on you know, in America.
Maybe it was like this for Maradona. I don't know.
What's that?
Was it like this for Maradona at all?
I mean, there just wasn't the coverage then that there is now.
Right.
Like, I'm just talking about here in the States.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, yeah. Okay. That's fair.
But yeah, since, you know, it's been accessible for everyone to watch, like, I mean, I walk around town just here, and I know we're not a World Cup site, but like, I would say, oh yeah, the most people who are paying attention to Chicago are rooting for Argentina. Like, they just are. And they're not.
I was last go around.
Yeah.
Just wait until Lewandowski comes to town.
Right.
The Polacks will be activated. We will have our day.
Again.
It'll be Peter Nowak all over again.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. And then Poland will be in the next World Cup with old man Lua trying to
I don't think Lua's going to make the next one.
Will it be 42 or something?
43, I think.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, we should rip through some cream questions. I have a few.
I have one. I'll go quick because I only really have one, I think. Hold on. Is Ronaldo cooked from Johnny Pilot? Super turbo cooked.
I should say so.
He is an asshole.
He is just charred.
Cooked. He is a piece of shit criminal who also just is so selfish that he's single-handedly destroying Portugal's hopes of winning this thing. Unless they bench him and make him a super sub, that is going to come back to bite them.
Yep, that's going to blow up in their face.
Big time.
Go ahead.
No, John, go ahead.
Didn't he cost them the Euro, too, because he wouldn't sit his ass down?
Well, the last World Cup, they sat him down. The guy who replaced him scored a hat trick.
Uh-huh.
And then they had to put him back in, and they lost because they couldn't score.
Right. Okay, that's what I'm remembering.
Yeah.
Was that Conceição or...
No, it was Ramos who came in today.
Oh, Gonzalo?
Yeah. He started like the round of 16 game because Ronaldo was hurt, or they're just like, we can't have you out here anymore. He scored a hat trick, and then like he bitched him out. He's like, well, I have to start the quarterfinal against Morocco. And like they didn't even come close to scoring against Morocco.
Morocco's really good.
Yeah. All right. I will rip through what ones I have. Our guy, R Hawks. Who is doing
R/Hawks?
R/Hawks, who does the mining for America's favorite segment? Just wanted me to wanted to send this in something he found on the Reddit. I think KD is going to make Stenberg happen. That's just my gut feeling. He swung for Demidov a couple of years ago, and Stenberg is arguably much more important at this point in time. I think he'll wind up pick swapping, giving up a prospect, a first, and a third. Might seem like a lot, but if Stenberg pans out, it'll be worth it. So they're all drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
No question.
It's a con. It's not to the monetary scale of what Kevin Warren is doing, but it's the same roadmap of continually kicking the can or whatever. Like, Kyle Davidson's a con man. And that's who he likes to,
I would say the difference is, I think Warren knows he's a con man. I think Kyle believes this shit.
Well, he's just inept, but it's the same. He's running the same game, even if he's fallen into it accidentally and not intentionally.
Believes what, Sam? Because we're talking about a situation where he's going to try to acquire somebody that he will fail to do so.
The con is keeping himself employed. He should not have a job.
No, I think he believes this prospect draft pick collection and drafting out there and just throwing out there. I think he genuinely thinks this is the way to build a contender.
Well, Kevin Warren genuinely thinks this is the way you get a fucking stadium deal done.
I think at this point, I think Kevin Warren just knows he's stealing George's money.
And it's a lot of money, man. How much do you think he, how much does he get paid? I bet it's
warn you.
He has a seat on the, He has a seat on the board. Yeah.
Millions, I would say. He's getting paid millions.
Mm-hmm. Cool. It's so cool to stand there and get a game ball for something he didn't even have any.
I'm probably giving him the best of it. Maybe he really does think this is how he gets a stadium. By never leaving his office, this is how he gets a stadium built.
How does he get to keep getting in the draft room? What is the story there? Why are you here?
How are you going to keep him out?
Who did you scout? What are you doing? Get out of here.
I feel like a lot of owners and presidents are in the draft room, though. They want the camera
time. They just don't want to be around their wives.
Donald Sterling style.
But whatever, it would... If you go back and look at the draft from last year to this year, the amount of fatigue and disdain when Poles has to hand the phone to Kevin Warren to talk to the draft pick, it's measurable. Like, he was kind of like, I don't know why I have to hand the phone.
No, Ben had to, it went Poles and then Ben and then
right
Warren.
When it was Colston, they're like, oh, okay, here, take it. And then this year when it was the safety from Oregon, you could tell they're both like, you got to talk to our president now. No, we don't know why either.
Kevin Warren's going to ask you about Jesus. Just nod just and do smile. It. It's fine.
Next year, if he's still around, and I don't think Kevin Warren's actually going to be around next draft, they will actively hide the phone from him. They're like, okay, it's time to talk to your president. And they'll just like toss it into the corner like, oh, well, I guess it broke.
Or give him a fake phone.
Right. give him his own phone. He won't know.
Yeah.
Our guy, Mike Jacoby. Should I be as excited as I am that the McDonald's World Cup Collector's Cup that I got today was Grimace? This is surely better than getting Beckham, right? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's sick. I got Jimenez for Argentina.
That's pretty good.
I think I'm going to have to go back and just see if I can get another one.
Do you have to get the Big Mac meal, or is it just if you order like the jumbo, like
no,
whatever?
No, I can explain the rules very clearly because I had to ask because I was confused. So for anybody who's thinking about going.
I'm sure the 17-year-old behind the counter was thrilled that you asked.
They were full-grown adults. It's Park Ridge. I got the meal. It was the Big Mac meal or the 10-piece McNugget meal. So I went with the Big Mac. I think next time I'll go with the 10-piece. And they put my drink in the cup holder, but it was in a regular McDonald's cup, and I was very confused. So I was like standing there, and then I was like, "Hey, I did the Big Mac thing for the World Cup thing. Do I get to choose what cup I want or whatever?" And they're like, "The cup's in the bag." So they actually wrap the cup in wrapping and put it in the bag with your food. So if you're expecting to get the drink in the cup, that's not the case.
No, you just put your own drink in the cup
and keep it. It's very sturdy. It's very good plastic. It's hard.
Do you have a good McDonald's out there in Park Ridge?
You could do some pickle juice and a beer.
Yeah. See, the McDonald's nearest me, every time they do this thing to me where I go through the drive-thru and then I have to park.
Well, the one at Irving and Elston is shut down for a while now.
Not that one. This one's on Kedzie.
What do you mean they make you park? They're like,
you order your food. You go to the
They never have their shit
pay.
Together enough, and they make you go off to the
pay,
side
so like,
to keep
you
it moving.
Please park in space one. We'll bring your food out to you. And I'm like, it's a drive-through, not a drive and stop.
The one at Western and Armitage does the same thing a lot, too. Milwaukee Armitage.
It annoys the piss out of me.
Yeah, and that one has a really small drive-through, too. So you got to, like, your car is blocking the person behind you. So if there's anybody that has to do that, it causes a huge jam.
Yeah. Like, you know, if you're busy, all right, I can handle that. But sometimes I'm like, I'm the only guy here. What are you doing?
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
What are you doing?
What the hell's going on out here?
anyway, I think at first I was like, if I got Grimace, I'd be kind of pissed. But the more I thought about it, I was thinking that actually is kind of cool. So the Grimace Cup is good. Grimace the Jimenez Cup good. Is fine, but sort of a letdown. I kind of
it's a shame it wasn't Uncle O'Grimacy, but apparently they only bring him out for St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
My culture is not your costume.
I wouldn't mind a Ronaldinho or something. That'd be kind of cool.
That'd be cool.
Ronaldinho McDonald.
Knowing me, that's a good one. Knowing me, I will get
with the clown makeup and everything.
No. That's what's going to happen.
You know that Ronald McDonald has not been a prominent figure for their advertising since the fucking creepy clowns were walking around Rose Hill here. Like, that's why they, like, when the
Browns are out.
Yeah, they're not in.
They're not in.
But the fact that it was, like, it was just some weirdos in mine and Sam's neighborhood at the time. Probably trying to get to the fucking fireside, the diner, not the bowling alley. And just ending up in the cemetery at 3 o'clock in the morning and then getting their fucking photos taken like Sasquatch. And that has affected a multi-zillion dollar company.
I hate everything about it.
What, you want Ronald back?
No, I hate clowns.
Yeah, no thanks.
No clowns.
Ignore this skeet, Medblurg. Based on today's games, who would win a 1,000-meter race, Ian Happ or Cristiano Ronaldo? I would bet against Ronaldo being able to finish that race. So I'll take Ian Happ. AJ, our guy AJ, wants to know if we got to do Riot Fest this year. Nope, won't be doing it. But if you want to do it with Matt, feel free to contact him.
You know I don't do it. What the hell?
Yeah, well, you're more likely to than I am.
I'm loud and proud, never, ever going to be in that fucking park. I'm waiting to see what the after shows are, and I'll stay up late for those.
And that's all I got. Is there anything on the main feed?
Not really, just...
Okay, then we're done.
Just one quick one. You took the effort. Greedy McDonuts, will you be doing an NHL mock draft, third best show of the year? You're listening to it.
Yeah, we just did it.
We just did it. Stenberg or fuck off.
They're not getting Stenberg. They're getting,
nobody. They're getting nobody you should care about. Go away.
They're getting Chase Rice.
Chase Rice, yep.
Chase Rice.
Ben Johnson's country friend.
Is that the one that is the hill rod that doesn't approve of what goes on in cities?
No.
That's all of the other ones, though.
It's not Keaton Verhoef.
Oh, sorry. Carroll's, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Carell's.
Sure. It's Steve Carell. He's the one
Steve Carell's
of cities.
Doesn't
They're either
going to
get Chase Rice or Steve Carell.
Or his Latvian cousin.
Oh, Rick Smits?
Yeah, him too.
Him too.
They need He's another Dutch. Guy to guard the rim.
He's Dutch. That is true.
Anyway. If you ain't Dutch, you ain't much.
Brian Yasudis says, I like it better when international competitions are abroad so that they start early in the day while I'm working rather than at night. Which do you prefer?
I prefer this, the late night thing. That works for me, but I don't do anything, so it doesn't affect anything for me.
I do like having the excuse to get up early and have games on, but having games late at night is just so, so great. I'm a huge fan. Plus, they've started the games at, like, 2 o'clock, so...
Sometimes earlier
it's great.
When they were in Sochi a couple years ago, like, I got myself in trouble by ending up at on a weeknight, ending up at the Oakwood for a fucking Slovenia game. So,
I prefer this with the late Nothing night. Like I have the whole morning to do whatever it is. I got to get done, and then you can just settle in. I like the, don't get me wrong, I understand the appeal of waking up at like 6 in the morning for European World Cups. We can all agree the Asian one where everything's on at like 1 or 2 a.m. is a little rough. No, this works for me. I'm down with this. 9 p.m. start? Oh, yeah. Give it to me.
Nate.
11 p.m. on a weeknight is not great.
Yeah, but what am I doing?
Especially when the game is dog shit, but. Otherwise, we're doing great.
We're doing great. All right. That is it. We are not doing a draft preview show. We will not do a draft recap show. We will probably do one more
unless they get Stenberg. Then maybe, but that'll maybe. Be like that'll still be like the following week.
I want to hear McClure's thoughts if they do get Stenberg. Or I want to hear them if they actually make an aggressive move to get Stenberg.
Right.
Here's what I'll say now. If they get Stenberg, they have to be a wild card team next year.
Yeah, if you're adding Stenberg, Kantsarov, and whoever else. Yeah,
with Bedard in year 4, I don't want to hear it.
You're adding two really good forwards to a team. That's hard to do in one offseason.
Well, one really good forward and one we're told is a really good forward that our GM's never actually seen.
Okay, but the numbers and the comparisons and all that stuff are legit. Right. He better be good. I think he'll be probably pretty good.
Yeah, if they get Stenberg, they got to be a wild card team next year. Otherwise, what are we doing?
And all your other kids just take a half step forward.
Yep.
Or if they, we will go live if they, this is the promise.
We're not going live.
We'll do an emergency enough pod. If they get Jason Robertson, that's the Matt McClure promise.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah,
that's always been the promise, though.
We'll do one show in there that's the draft wrap and a free agency preview, where we'll wait till July 1st is over, and we'll wrap it all. We'll do the whole offseason in one show, and then we'll break for training camp because John's got a lot of prep for training camp.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're bringing back Bulls Corner.
With the curiously Aryan-looking man from Brazil or wherever the hell he's from. How does that happen? I don't know. It's a mystery.
He's got basketball face. Basketball coach face.
Tallest coach ever.
Would he? No, I thought Bill Cartwright was the tallest coach ever.
Well, I'm just using hyperbole. I don't know. I don't actually know the answer.
Would Tiago Splitter have
better? I forgot about the Bill Cartwright era.
So did I.
Would Tiago Splitter make it on George's all smelly team?
Yo, undoubtedly.
He looks well kept.
Not his playing days, he didn't.
I don't think Brazilian counts as a stinky country. It's not like Turkey.
It's musty. It's humid.
I think there's a must about it.
There's some. He's not even on
the same bus as Omer.
That's why the Brazilian was invented there, because of the swamp ass, the fucking humid crotches.
Remember in college when you'd walk into someone's dorm room and you could tell they clearly fucked in there like 5 minutes before you got there.
It's an entire country.
I bet Brazil smells like that.
Oh God.
Smells like seawater.
Oh, what a send off. That is
it's like a happy bath.
Subscribe to Sam's newsletter. He's painting pictures with words.
Yep, indeed.
Like nobody else can.
Beautiful pictures of Mario Lemieux. all right. Let's get out of here. For Slack, for John, for Matt, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, share. Subscribe to the newsletter, especially the World Cup part, because it's free and I want everyone to see it, hoping to really get some momentum going with it. Until we're back, we don't know when we'll be back, but we will be back. Top guys out.